Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone. When he's not on the microphone, he's playing a song. And when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone. And then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't. Yes, he did.
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
916-339-1140 is the text line. 1-800-920-1140 is the phone line. Sorry. If you didn't know, if you didn't listen to the show this morning, you won't get this text, so listen harder. I can't believe you guys are talking about this morning. My wife divorced me because she called me a deaf hoarder. We were talking to Tom about ear irrigation and how he is having hearing problems. In a previous segment, we were talking about guys that hoard electronic equipment. This person put that all together and made a joke out of it. Unless that's real, and if that's the case, that's the craziest divorce reason ever.
But a reason.
What a reason, exactly. Yeah. Stephen Leeper says Malik Monk can go on his Apple Music family plan for as long as he's a king.
That's nice.
Okay. And we have Garth, party on. Good morning, Garth.
Good morning.
Hey, real quick. Which do you get more stupid jokes about? Garth Brooks or Party On Wayne type of stuff? Like, which has happened more in your life?
It's more Garth Vader.
Garth Vader's awesome.
I didn't even hear that
one. I've never heard that. That's why I asked the question. That's great.
Wow.
What's up, man? What's up, Garth Vader?
I wanted to offer my professional services to design a Monk logo.
A Monk logo. Now, what qualifies you to design a Monk logo?
What qualifies
me? I'm saying, is that something you do normally, or are you just talented at art, or, you know, I'm just curious.
I've got 35 years in the advertising business.
Yeah. Okay.
That's
credentials.
So Garth is offering his 35 years of experience in designing a Monk logo.
Do you have an idea of what you're looking at here? Because it's got to be good.
Well, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is the double M's, MM. It's very much like Tiger Woods.
Mm, okay. With the TW. That's a great logo. Have you seen the new Victor Wembanyama alien logo from Nike?
No.
You should look it up when we get off the phone. It's actually, Nike's so good at this stuff. That's good, though, because honestly, when you think of a Monk logo, I think the go-to is like something with a monk, you know, and maybe that could work, but it's kind of lazy. I like the idea of the double M's. What about, hey, you're the experienced one, but just off the top of my head, what about an M and then like the and sign and then another M after
it? Has that been done before?
Has it? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
That could work, but that implies that there's two M's, like it's a partnership or something.
Like a law firm, like the law firm of M&M.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, right.
I got you.
You got one shot.
Thank you, Garth.
Yeah. Garth Vader.
I'm surprised the guy that offered up the trees for Malik, the free trees for Malik, didn't offer up a strain. Like, I will rename my hybrid indica the monk in the trunk.
Monk funk.
tastes like blueberries and Beam.
Yummy.
Gross. All right, Kevin Herter is Red Velvet. That's what we call him. Friend of the program. And, yes, we are efforting to see if we can't get old Red Velvet on the program as a our very own exit interview. But he's busy rehabbing the shoulder and doing whatever, you know, things he does. But he did speak to the press, and let's just start off with a popular subject here. How about Kevin Herter, Jason, on Malik Monk's future with the team? Would you agree that's a good clip to play?
I would agree.
Okay, that's two. Chris?
I also agree.
Okay, that's 3-0. We're going to start off with that, okay? Okay. All right, here it is. Right?
Yeah. A lot of talk about Chris him today.
I also agree.
Okay, all right, so here's what we do. Yeah. Let's go back and let's do what we should do and mute YouTube. Okay, sorry, guys. And pause, rewind. Volume. And here's Kevin Herter.
There's a lot of talk about him today. Everybody knows the situation. We love him around here. He's great energy for this organization. He's a big voice in the locker room. He's really everybody's best friend on the team. But it's a business. We all know that. It's a business, and we know the situation here. And I think a lot of that will dictate, you know, how other teams see him. I think everybody knows how this team and this organization sees him. And so everybody hopes he's back. We hope it works out. But it's a business. You know, you got to respect him for wanting to go get paid, obviously.
Mm. I think that is pretty much, that's very similar to De'Aaron's answer and everyone's answer. Can we get one guy on the team, maybe JaVale? I feel like JaVale would be the guy to be like, look, he can make a lot of money out there, but loyalty is more important. If Malik Monk's the guy that I know, he's going to stay here because this is where he belongs. Like, screw the money.
Grass isn't always greener.
I've been around.
If I have any bit of advice to Malik, I'd say you're in a great position. Stick around.
Malik. Yeah. Just put the pressure on him.
Yeah.
Very diplomatic answers from these fellers. As far as Kevin goes, he also, when looking to next season, is very optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, there's always what ifs going into any offseason. Even on times going into my second year where I played a lot as a rookie, like, there's always a what if you're going to be on the team next year. That happens every single year, unless you're maybe De'Aaron Fox or Domas on this year's team, or Keegan, whoever would be the absolute safest person. So that's something that you deal with every year. I just think I've always had a good support system. You know, our coaching staff here did a good job of trying to reach out and be there for me when I had questions or was trying to understand different things. And my family back at home, the people I trained with in the summer, had a lot of people reaching out over the course of the year. And then the injury definitely felt like the icing on top. But to be honest, I kind of go back. Like, I probably had my best career as a pro last year. And so then this was probably my worst year as a pro this year. And so I think in a lot of ways they balance out. And if you look at it like, well, hey, next year we should be back. Like, you know, I'm optimistic about getting through this summer, through this injury. I'll be in the weight room a lot, which I think is always fun going into an off season. And next year I think I'm looking at it really positively and think that you'll all be back.
That's an interesting take on that, because I agree with, I wouldn't have, he would know better of saying this year was his worst year he felt as a pro. Last year did feel like his best year. But, you know, I think what we've got to get down to and what he's got to figure out, Dave, is how much of it was the injury, because we know the injury happened.
Right.
But he then referenced at times that he's like, that had been bothering him.
That's a huge thing. And so, that's something I agree with you. That's the number one question I'd like to ask. It's funny he said that. He had his best year and his worst year, in his opinion, which means he's been average Kevin Huerter over the 2 years.
Right.
This was his worst year as a pro. If we throw out his rookie year, which is always goofy for everyone for the most part, he had a career low in points. He dropped from 15.2 last year to 10.2 this year. He went down in assists by 0.3. Rebounds were pretty flat, right around the same. He had a career low when it came to 3-point percentage, dropping from 40.2 to 36.1, and not a career low in field goal percentage, but down 4 points from last year. He also dropped 5 minutes a game from last year, which you have to throw in, but we're doing all averages here. This was his worst year as a pro. And I agree with you. It would be interesting to see exactly how that shoulder affected him.
And he would know this better. He did not have a great series against the Warriors a year ago. And no. I don't know if maybe mentally he was stuck in that. Because I know, like, to start the year, it's like, okay, new year. And he didn't come out shooting that well. And so then it was kind of like, instead of, and you know it, Dave, you've been at the games enough to know, it's like, there's a genuine arena feel when the ball's moving the right way.
Yes.
And it goes to that extra pass.
Yep.
And if it's going to Kevin Huerter last year, it's like, there's like an elevation of anticipation, like, this is going down, like, boom. And he makes it, it erupts.
With apologies to Bogdan Bogdanovic against the Lakers, you could argue the biggest pop that the arena's ever seen was Kevin Huerter against the Jazz last year.
So as the shots aren't falling from the playoff series into the early part of this season, it's it's the right shot. He's might make it. And it's like, oh.
And it seemed like there were so many where he was wide open.
Yep.
And it would just in and out, halfway down, back of the rim, barely. It's like he's off by like, I always go back to the RoboCop thing where he had to do his aim on the baby food. Like, it just felt like he's just off.
Yeah. But off enough, right?
But off enough. And you know, I can guess And it'll be interesting to see how close we are if we do get him on. My guess is we ask him about the shoulder, and the first thing he's going to say, or at least he's going to make it a big part of his answer, is I don't want to use that as an excuse, and I'd be lying if I said that was what. You mentioned the Warriors series last year, and I need to do the research and get the numbers on this, but I honestly felt like pre- and post-three-point contest,
that could
Kevin
be
Herter
two.
Were two different players.
That could be a
that
two.
Could be a coincidence.
Yeah.
But. He went on, Kevin Herter did, to talk about just consistency overall.
Yeah, I'll just go back to the word frustrating. A lot of stuff happened behind the scenes, conversations, trying to understand, you know, the rhyme, the reason for, you know, what we're doing and where we're, what the coaches are thinking, what the players are thinking. Just
I want to stop that. That's what I want to hear, and that's really interesting to me. A lot of behind the scenes conversations, a lot of frustration. That's kind of what we were looking for during the season. And
yeah.
A lot of times after the season, this stuff will come out. That they were at as much a loss as we were, and as frustrated as we were.
With him, you're talking about? Or
well, I'm saying the, no. With their inconsistency,
yeah.
And these games that they would lose out of the blue, which is what I assume he's referring to.
Yeah, and I'm even thinking him, like as a guy who felt he had a career year.
Yeah.
And then was not playing as well. I mean, he got benched.
Yes.
That's not an easy thing to go through. Now, he came back and became the starter again. But he's probably going, wait, I don't have a little bit longer leash here? Like, what do I have to do? And then the guys that kind of filled in at the time was maybe Duarte, some Davion, I think maybe even some Colby Jones. Or
yeah.
That. Like, they didn't really thrive. And so then it went back to him. But, I'm sure there was it was a puzzling year for him.
Well, his rookie year in Atlanta, he didn't start 16 games. His following year, he didn't start 8. Then he didn't start 20, and then he didn't start 14. He came to Sacramento. He started 75 of 75, and then he was coming off the bench in 5. So even though that 5 would represent less games not started than any of his Atlanta years, I think he had gotten used to. And you also, and by the way, I don't know this, but you also don't know if one of the reason or one of the things he was promised when he came here was he was starting. I don't know that. There's sometimes behind the scenes things. Also, you can't help but think, I'm not saying he thought this, but Jason, you can't help but wonder if you're a player, well, why am I on the bench, but this guy's not?
Right.
You know, that's just a natural thing. Anyways, back to
Kevin. Trying to understand, you know, the rhyme, the reason for, you know, what we're doing and where we're, what the coaches are thinking, what the players are thinking, just trying to get on the same page. And I think that was something that we just kind of went through really cycles over the whole course of the year. It kind of felt like I was just going in cycles. I play well for a couple weeks, and then I lose it for a week or two, and then come back and I play well. And it's not how I want to play. It's not how you guys want to watch us play. So just continuing to try to find consistency with, you know, how I can fit in with this group, this offense, the other players that we have on our team, with the coaching staff, trying to figure out exactly what they're looking for me to do on a nightly basis, and trying to limit those downs as much as you can.
When we return, we'll get an update from him on his shoulder, and then we'll go ahead and grade out his season, see if we have time to get to Davion Mitchell, as well as Trey Lyles before Katie Christensen. I'll just put a bow, if you would, Jason, on what most of what he said. I don't know what the future holds for him. I certainly am rooting for Kevin Herter, as I know you are. I think we all are. One thing I will not doubt, you know, you heard him say earlier, I'm definitely going to be spending a lot of time in the weight room, which is fun. And I think he meant that going in, which weight room and fun don't equate to me, which is why I'm fat and he's not. You're never going to doubt Kevin Herter's drive to get better. That's just nothing that's ever going to come in question. I trust that he's going to be working his tail off. And that's the type of drive you need in an athlete that you want to root for that's coming back from an injury. Much like you want to be able to drive a brand new Ram truck up at Hoblet Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Woodland. Because it's Dodge's last call sales event. And our friend Chad Hoblet explained to me a while ago, look, it's 75 years in business for Hoblet. So why not offer 75 new Dodge Chargers and Challengers at enormous discounted prices just to say thank you. Just an appreciation. Right now you can get your hands on the last of the gas-powered 2023 Dodge Charger and Challengers GT or SXT. And save up to $13,000 off MSRP, but you better hurry. You better, because you only have until April 13th. What about the Scat Packs? Deals on those? No way, right? Yeah. They've got some of the biggest savings ever. But you gotta hurry. Because again, these are the very last of the gas-powered Chargers and Challengers. You only have until the end of the month to cash in on this anniversary savings. You better get moving. Hoblet Dodge and Woodland are search selected save at HobletDodge.com. Unbeatable prices. Unbeatable selection. Nobody beats Hoblet. Period. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll grade Kevin Herter right after this. 30 seconds.
They bleed black and purple.
Not to be, baby.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on your local sports leader, Sacktown Sports.
Maggie on the YouTube chat, and thank you to everybody on the YouTubes for watching. Maggie asked a question, and you know, we've gotten a few of these, and we've addressed it before, but you know, just kind of clean it all up. Look, you know, people asking, well, why didn't you have Kevin Herter on the show this year? Loved it. It was great. The Red Velvet Lounge. He had fun. You guys had fun. It was a very enjoyable weekly visit with Kevin Herter last year. No doubt about it. And we've always been very transparent, as I think Kevin would want us to be. We had a conversation before the show, before the season. I'll paraphrase, but it was basically like, guys, I didn't like the way the season ended. It's not your fault. Loved coming on the show. Loved talking to everybody. But honestly, I just want to 100% focus on basketball, not doing. And you noticed last year, like, there wasn't a lot of media for Kevin anywhere. I don't even know if, you know, he was doing podcasts.
We did media day, and that was it with him.
That was it, you know. And I think even, it's not like he was popping up everywhere else. He just really, and then as the season went on, it got progressively tougher. So it wasn't like we were going to bring him back on, and I totally respect that. When we have players on, we want it to be fun for them. We don't want it. We have the opportunity. We'll be really honest. Peeling back the curtain, we have the opportunity every year to, you know, hey, this sponsor will give you a bunch of money, and we'll bring you on. And one of the things we try to gauge for both your protection as an audience, our protection as people trying to present a show, and also the player's protection is, look, we understand if you're going to take time every week, we're going to compensate you. Of course we are. It's going to be a paid appearance. But we don't want, I don't care who the player is. I would rather have Katie or Mark or Kyle or you or Chris break down these games. Yes, it would be awesome to have a king on, but we don't want somebody who's just going to come on, who's going to be half awake, doesn't really want to be here, understands that they just kind of, it's one thing to come on in October or November. It's another thing to come on in January in the middle of a 4-game losing streak when you're in the doldrums of the season and you're just doing it because you're contractually obligated. It's not good radio. Mm-hmm. It's not fun. And I think it makes a player look bad. When really we don't ever want a player to come on and have anything but fun and enjoy their visit with us.
And that's why Kevin was so great.
That's why Kevin was so great. And one of the things we did with Kevin, because it made it easier for him, which we did the same thing with Eric Armstead and a few others, is we pre-recorded almost every single interview with him the night before.
Yeah, on their schedule, their time, when it fits best.
And we could, and we get people in the chat that say, oh man, it's not live, it's recorded. Yes,
it's not edited.
No, it's not edited. Yeah. We're not trying to hide the fact that we recorded last night. But again, our job as hosts in part is to judge what is the best possible content for you, the listener. And it was a very easy decision to make. Well, do we want good-hearted but sleepy Kevin Herter throwing his schedule off, getting up at 8:30 a.m. when he's still half awake in a bowl of cereal, and giving answers that are probably going to be a lot less personality-based than in his prime time of 8-9 p.m. or whenever, when he's been awake, he's ready to go, maybe just got done with a shoot-around, we'll get his thoughts on the game. It's not like things are going to change between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m. for him. So anyways, that's a whole blah, blah, blah on that. But that's that. And we'll do the same thing next year. If there's some, we will identify people on the team. And if there's somebody that's like, oh, no, I totally like to do that. You know, I want to get out there. I love this type of stuff. Some people want to be broadcasters later in their career. You know, great, awesome. If it's somebody who's like, well, you can feel really early on, like, all right, let's go through their agent. How long will it be? Okay, he can only do 10 minutes. It's like, okay, you know what? Thank you. Appreciate it. Love you. We're good. Finally, Kevin Herter will give us an update right now on his shoulder.
Yeah, I should still have, got about 4 more weeks in the sling. They said 12 weeks out from surgery was start shooting, do on-court stuff. I'm already kind of ahead of schedule a little bit. So, you know, we're hoping August is contact. You know, should really be on pace for training camp in spring in, September. So, a couple more weeks in this, though.
From the 916, no, Dave, Red Velvet was not in and out with those threes. He was way off. If he lit a shot, the form, the rhythm, nothing close to his first year. There's something mechanical. It's a hitch. He needs to do work in the offseason. Well, I'm not going to deny that, obviously, he needs to do work in the offseason, but I'm also not going to deny that what we said is factual. I mean, there were, especially towards the beginning of the year, just in and out, just off type shots. And by the way, both can absolutely be true. Kevin has some work to do. As we explained earlier, this is, by his own admission, his worst year as a pro. And, Jason, I think, in my opinion, it started last year at the three-point contest. Mm-hmm. You could fast-forward that to the Warriors series. I think both are true there. By all accounts, he had a fine offseason. Didn't, like, go out partying and get fat.
Yeah.
And then I think part of it was, and I'm not excusing it, I'm just listing reasons. I think part of Kevin's struggles early on were due to, I think, Mike Brown's reinvigorated focus on defensive principles, and Kevin got caught a little bit in the middle there, was an example at times, both in front of and behind the scenes. And I think a lot of times for certain players, security is very important, and insecurity is also very important. And my guess is with Kevin, were there some form issues that he – yeah, sure. But I think a lot of this year is the same thing we could attach to a lot. This is a common theme. I think a lot of it was mental.
Oh, yeah, and look, I'm trying to put myself in Kevin Herter's shoes where I come to Sacramento, I have a great year, I'm loved, I have just everything's going well. They run it back, and I'm not the same.
Right.
So the team's doing some things. Sabonis maybe having a better year. Fox, equal or better. Keegan elevating his game. And of the five starters, people are kind of looking at me and looking at Harrison Barnes. And so if I didn't have the best playoff performance, now I'm not playing as well. Trade deadline's coming. Oh, his name was all over that. So It's like, man, I just know that, to me, it would have an impact on me, I think. As much as you're like, shut that out. Well, if you're playing well, I think you think less of it. Now you're not playing well, you hear about trade rumors, and maybe you don't want to go. You know, that's just, right. I think that's, and then at the end, you get injured if you weren't hurt a little bit before. So I could see how it was a really taxing year, but I would think one of those things for him is, he's got to figure out a way to, because he's got kind of some of the things you would want as he's a bigger two. Like he is a bit taller. Yes. Like they're small at a lot of positions. And if he can get to that offensive production again, but still be to a point where, teams were seeking him out to attack him.
Right. Yes, so, they were.
I'm not looking at all defensive player here, but can he be in a spot where his principles and the team defensive concepts he's in line with and he's, you know, not hurting the team? That's what I would say he's got to work on.
No, I think you're right. And I think, I don't know that he thought this, but I know a lot of fans thought it. Well, why is Kevin Herter getting benched and Harrison Barnes isn't? Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on there? And I think part of the answer is the depth at the two is a little different than the depth at the three.
Right.
You have a Chris Duarte they wanted to give a shot to, Keon Ellis, obviously, and you know Malik Monk they could have. Whereas the options for Harrison Barnes are pretty much Trey Lyles.
Right.
You know, Sasha Vezenkov was nowhere near ready defensively. And the thing with Barnes is they very much, I think it's very important to Mike Brown, whether you agree with it or not, there's two key things with Harrison Barnes. Number one, his on-court demeanor and leadership, which can't be overstated.
Yeah.
And also, you know, Barnes generally got one of the toughest defensive assignments night in and night out.
Right.
And it's not that Barnes is a stopper, but he's one of the better defenders on the team. That's just the brass tacks.
And the other part, too, I would say about Herter that I think is underreported when he left or when he was out, he does space the floor. Even if he's not shooting to the best of his ability, other teams know what he's capable of. So, for example, if it's like, hey, we want to double Sabonis, we want to double Fox, get the ball out of their hands. When they're picking options of people to leave, a lot of times they're not leaving her. Like, don't leave Herter.
Right.
Yeah, I know he's one of 10, but don't leave Herter. So he's got a reputation. He can get it back, but he needs to get it back.
And I think there was a knowledge both with the Kings as a team and then certain individuals, and I think Kevin's one of them. If teams smell blood, they're going to pick up on
it. Oh, absolutely.
So it's one of those, hey, the last thing you want to do is give Kevin Herter confidence. Because if he hits a couple early in the first, that guy could go, you know, drop a 30 burger on you. We don't want any part of that. So get in his face, make him miss a couple times, and you really won't have to worry about him the rest of the game. And I think that was part of the scouting report on him. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll start our Davion Mitchell evaluation. We'll start that with audio from his exit interviews as well. I don't think we'll have time for Trey Lyles today, but we will see. And then we got who's hot, who's not, before we get to Katie Christensen at 9. It's Dave, Jason, and Chris. We're right back after this.
Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Call or text at 916-339-1140
on Sactown Sports.
Jason asked me just before we went back on if I ever watched
I think I knew the answer to.
Food reels on...
stuff was coming on.
Yeah, you got these little food reels on Instagram or Facebook. The algorithm knows what it's doing.
Yeah. Al's busy.
Albert Garithm. If you were to, let's say, go on my Instagram, which I basically only use for reels.
For reels?
For reels. Like, basically every reel is either a food one, a golf one, or almost all of them are French Bulldog ones. Okay. You just scroll through, and it's French Bulldogs with the occasional... food and golf. If you guys don't know this or aren't familiar, many of you will be. There's a guy.
Here's a guy.
Who wears glasses and usually wears an Oakland A's hat. And the name of his accounts, both on Twitter and I think all social media, is it's called Chef Reactions. And it's an ex-chef who's basically split screen watching these food reels. And usually they're the ones where like.
It's awful.
Yeah, someone puts like a whole chicken in a banquet pan.
I learned this in Texas.
Exactly. And here's some cream of mushroom.
And he's really dry.
And he's incredibly dry in his delivery.
Then I have seen him.
And he is just, he knocks me on my rear end. He's so funny because he's just basically torching these recipes.
I think the one I did see of him was a lady was making like Super Bowl nachos, I think, in like what you would think is a Costco oversized bin. And he's like, and you're making this on Tuesday, like the Super Bowl Sunday. Like,
right.
I mean, just everything he said, you're like, yeah, you're right. What is she doing?
What is she doing?
Yeah.
I enjoy the most about his is it will be something gross and like, oh, what are you doing that? But he'll have the same reaction of like, I'll give it a point.
Always ends it this way.
3, 4 out of 10. I'd give it a try.
Yeah, exactly. I'd have a bite.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always how he ends it. It's also where I'd never heard the term jarlic before, but that's also his favorite terms are jarlic and herbs.
I think we should work on getting him on this summer.
I would love to. He's blowing up.
He's an A's fan.
He is. Yeah, I mean, he wears an A's hat, and I don't know much about him other than I think he did a thank you post yesterday saying it was a year ago that I stopped working in a kitchen and started being a content guy full-time and taking care of my grandmother. Thank you, guys. But so it sounds like it's also a pretty good story behind it, too. Cool. I hope he's making money because this dude, honestly, Food Network should snatch him up.
If you check out, he's got like a YouTube page, too. So he'll do like food like weekends.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yes. He's incredibly entertaining. If you don't know, I think it's Chef Reactions. So there's
Jarlic.
You got
And then when you finally get one that's like a really good item, and he's just like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah, it's always like some dude who like ballet music is playing and he's making like some chocolate swan and he'll occasionally put like the experts on there. Anyways. So there's a nice plug for him. But yes, I like the reels, man. I really do. I like the reels. Not all of them. Some are just stupid.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to do any of that. I will watch him and I go, why? I should know how to do that for, like, sports. I should be able to, like, run a king. I don't know how. As much as I'm on social media, right. I mean,
I would think
good
you would be thriving at that.
Yes. I don't know. Like, I see people post, like, I'll see them post, like, 20-second clips of a Kings game that are, like, 4K quality. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how the hell they do it. Now, I know that you can get, like, a video capture card on your PC. And I have a feeling that's not what a lot of you, there's like an easy way other than holding your phone up to the TV, which is what I do. I hold my phone up and hit record. There's an easier way these guys are doing
stuff. Yeah, people are like cutting out, like, look at this highlight and then talking over it, split screen. I'm
yes.
Like,
yeah, how do I not know? There needs to be a class on that.
Yeah.
I want to know how to like split screen with like this Kevin Herter play and be able to like, you know, like sports reactions or where I can react to stuff. I have no idea how they do this stuff. And I still don't understand TikTok and how all that works. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, I only have TikTok just to watch the dog videos. I don't know how to make a TikTok. Right. I mean, I'm sure I could hit record, but these guys have like charts and counters and memes and music and all this crap in them. Why don't you teach that in school?
Right.
That's something you'll use.
Anyway. Did you go back to school for that?
If there was a college course that actually literally offered stuff like that, I absolutely would. I would 100% take it. Oh, by the way, hey, shockingly, how useful would that be for, I don't know, maybe a media company, a station, radio, TV, something to, you know, we have every other day I have to do a training on how to prevent somebody from stealing this password or what?
Phishing
with the PH, not the band. Why do we not have trainings on, instead of all the lawyers and stuff all the time? How about like, hey, Jimmy's coming in from Arizona to teach everybody how to make a TikTok video in the conference room. There will be donuts.
Donuts?
All right, Damian Mitchell probably doesn't eat a lot of donuts. He's in great shape. Let's spend a little bit of time on him. And what do you learn this season?
I mean, I think for me, you
That's perfect.
Disgusted with a question.
Damian, was this? I hadn't heard this clip. Was this a learning season for you?
I mean, I think for me, you just. I learned a lot from this season. I kind of never been in a situation where I haven't played. I think all my life I've been playing and playing a lot of minutes. So I kind of learned a lot from this adversity. Things that I need to work on, things that the role that they need me to play, I just got to do a better job at it. I think it also gave me confidence towards the end of the season when I was hitting shots and playing a big role in our kind of success, even though we lost the last game. But, I mean, I think it goes into the offseason what I need to work on, work harder on. I think it a lot of things I need to work on. I'm finishing, passing, a lot of things I need to work on that I'll be ready for.
Mm-hmm. And I understand he needs to work on his finishing, but I also think that's one of his weird strengths that pops up every once in a while. It's weird because it's so inconsistent, but sometimes I'll see him just speed up and lay that sucker up past three guys. And then there's other times, too, where you see him hit a three, and you're like, how is he not shooting 10 of these a game? That's a beautiful shot in a beautiful form, and then it just goes away.
Right.
Like his first half in New Orleans at that play-in game was just stinky poo.
Yeah.
And then he improved a little.
He said he had a weird season too, like the way it started. Then he was not playing for a while. His finish was better, much better, and he was an important part of the team. The one thing I will always say about Davion is, like when he's talking about working in the off season, like they have to dial him back.
Yes.
So whatever he thinks and whatever they're telling him to work on, I know he will.
There's no ever any question with his work ethic. Speaking of role, he did talk about his role with the team.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously the injuries happened, so I kind of had to step up. But I think, the beginning of the year, it's a lot of DMPs. I didn't play a lot. I mean, but still trying to play a role, trying to be that encouragement on the bench. Not kind of putting my head down and saying, man, I forget this team, forget the coaches, they don't like me. No, I kind of kept my head straight, and then my time came. It happened, and I was ready. But I mean, I think that as far as the role, I mean, I think it changes. It changes throughout the season with injuries and things like that. And I think I embraced it at a perfect level.
We'll get back to Davion in a second, but we have the national shows on, and it looks like there's breaking news from ESPN. The Cowboys have reworked Dak Prescott's contract that will reduce their cap hit $4 million.
Okay.
That's the big splash.
Hmm.
Is it just a thing where do they contractually have to have X amount of Cowboy and Laker content?
Yes.
No matter how inane it is.
Right.
We're in late April. And we're spending prime time. I mean, Adam Schefter's been up there 10 minutes talking about the Cowboys reworking Dak's contract. And the cap hit will now go from $60 million to $56 million. Let's discuss that.
Right. Full breakdown.
What could they do with it? Yeah. Do you think they'll do the thing? Or will they do, I don't know, the other thing? And how is this going to affect the fourth round of the draft? Right. I mean, obviously there's an audience for it.
I guess so.
It just sounds like a colonoscopy on the eyes.
Ouch.
One last one, then we will break, to your point. There's Damian Mitchell talking about his jobs this summer.
Yeah, I mean, the work definitely got me here. Coming from a small city, transferring from Auburn, just to work extremely hard, been through a lot of adversity, and it got me here, so... I mean, I'm definitely not going to change that approach. I mean, I think as far as our team, though, I mean, we all work hard. It's not just me. I think that, I mean, this is the most – every time I'm in the gym in the morning, you always see a couple players, the younger players, the coaching staff. So I think the whole organization is about working hard, not just me, and I think that's what's going to make us go over the top in the next couple years or next year. I think that's going to make us a lot better.
I'll bet you didn't say forget this team in his head when he did that. I'll bet you it wasn't forget. I'll bet you it was another word.
Might have been.
Like, I love this team.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows?
That's what it would have been.
That sound from Davion Mitchell, we'll clean that up probably tomorrow with an actual grade and look back on his team, on his season, before we get to Trey Lyles' audio and his season evaluation. And, of course, we'll work all our way up to, you know, obviously Keegan, Domas, Fox, et cetera. We'll take a break. When we come back, who's hot, who's not, and we will go streaking right after this.
What's hot?
Yeah, hot. Real hot.
And what's not?
It's not good.
Brought to you by American Energy Heating and Air, Sacramento's complete heating and cooling company and second opinion partner.
Hey, Chris. Hey, Chris. Who's hot?
Now, this might sound a little strange.
Okay.
But Thailand's under 18 hockey team?
Wait. I did not anticipate hearing at Who's Hot, Thailand's under 18 hockey team.
Yeah. What?
Explain.
Please.
They beat Kuwait at the under 18 Asia Oceania Championship 57-0.
Yeah, but Kuwait sucks at hockey. They're terrible every year.
It could have been worse. Because Thailand had outshot them 122-1 on the night. So, hey, way to go, Kuwaiti goalkeeper.
Yeah.
I got it. Look, man, I'm not trying to, you know, generalize and stereotype. I got to think hockey is not huge in Kuwait.
I think that is
I just
stereotyping.
I feel like that's a thing. That's a lot of shots, man. Let me augment the who's hot for those who do not subscribe to Taiwanese under 18 hockey teams.
Thailand,
excuse me. And who doesn't? In his 25 games for the Dodgers, Shohei Ohtani has 20 runs, 18 extra base hits, and 5 stolen bases. Prior to him, the last player to reach all those numbers in his first 25 games with a team was this man in 1993.
Barry Bonds.
Wrong. It's Barry Bonds.
Oh, I thought you said Barry Bonds.
It's Barry, not Barry.
Pammed.
Barry Bonds?
Pammed.
Or Barry Bonds.
Pammed.
Who's not?
The Phoenix Suns' big three. KD, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker. They did have 52 points combined, but were 18 of 42 from the field, 1 of 9 for 3, and a combined minus 56 in the plus minus in the Suns' 105-93 loss to the Timberwolves.
So if they get bounced, let's say they lose in 4 or 5 games to the Timberwolves, right? Like, I mean, they can't blow it up, right?
No. They got to run it back. Try again.
Some interesting rumors I saw, which
Ooh, I love
I thought
it.
Would be fun is them trading Booker to San Antonio.
For?
Victor Wembanyama. Probably not.
KD back to the Warriors.
Yeah, I don't know.
OKC.
I mean, that's not what any of them went there for. And by the way, can I just say Phoenix, and it's easy to hindsight, but we talked about this all year long, so we have the receipts. 100 out of 100 times, it seems, a new owner rolls in any sport and just craps the bed. It just always has. There's always that period of time. It's like a rookie, but worse, where they just come in and they're like, ha, I'm going to do things differently. I am a disruptor, and I have succeeded in everything I've ever done, and we're not doing things the way it was done before, and we're not doing things the way anybody else does it. No, we're going to come in, and we're going to do the thing, and then that other thing, we're going to do that too, and I'm going to go out and do that thing. And then it just sucks. And then by year three, maybe four, they're like, why did I do this? I am so tired of it. Everyone is on my case. I don't like it. I'm just going to let Fred run things, the GM. I'm just going to let him do it.
GM Fred.
And then it turns out Fred knows what he's doing. Yeah. And hey.
He spent his whole life thinking about basketball?
Yeah, he
Fred's GM of the year.
A whole thing. Like, he actually is the guy. And 2-3 years later, the team miraculously starts doing well. And then you know what happens? You know what always happens? Then the owner comes back and is like, you know, all along we stuck to a plan and I had this vision. And, you know, when we hired Fred, other people said we shouldn't hire Fred. And I was like, no, Fred's the guy. And went through and, you know, you haven't seen a lot of me lately. And that's because we've had our noses to the grindstone and, you know, actions and words and all that. And now we're here and I'll take your questions.
We like Fred. We love Fred. Fred's a great guy.
Send your letters to Chris. All right. What do you say?
What do you say?
Let's go streaking.
It's time to go streaking.
We're going streaking!
Who is the Nostradamus of MLB?
Who can keep the streak going? It's time to go streaking.
What the hell are you doing?
We're streaking.
We had those numbers on Shohei Ohtani, and somebody chimed in on the text line and said, however, you noticed the league leader, just screwed the joke up. The league leader in steals, it's still Shohei's interpreter. What? That's not nice. Why would you say that?
Good point.
Great point right there. Wouldn't bet on it, though. Back to you.
All right. Dave, yesterday you selected from the Los Angeles Dodgers, which was a carryover from the other day because you didn't play Mookie Betts. Five plate appearances for Mook. You
gotta
hit.
Okay, all right.
You're good.
You lead me down the wrong primrose path or whatever.
No, you're good. You get to add to your streak today.
What is my streak?
I think it's three now.
Okay, yeah, three.
I was at zero, and I selected from the Atlanta Braves, Austin Riley.
Austin Riley. He's a ball player.
Three plate appearances. One hit.
That's all you need. You know what? One hit, three hits, doesn't matter. Good job. So everybody's got a hit so far.
Had it yet this year where all three of us got a hit?
I don't think we have, but well, until today.
Well, I don't know, because Chris keeps relying on Jackson Holiday.
Oh, Chris.
He's due.
He is 9.5 months. Yes, he is very due.
He was batting under 100. He had four plate appearances.
Well, that's four chances to get a hit for the Rook.
Chris, he got you a hit.
Yeah!
One!
Let's go!
Holiday!
Banger right there.
Jackson Holiday!
So we're all streaking.
Uh-huh. We are.
Let's go. Chris at one, I'm at one, Dave at three.
Flopping around. Well, yesterday I went with Mookie Betts. Today I'm going to go with Jose Altuve. Hey.
Altuve.
It's Italian.
Yes.
Fragile.
I am going to take today my favorite go-to, and that is Ellie De La Cruz.
You know what ticks me off, dude, is now I am 100%. I am absolutely going to increase my Jackson Holiday picks by like 80% just to hear the song.
I know.
Like
I kind of want to pick him too.
Absolutely doing that now.
Can we have songs for everybody?
I mean, what? It'd be tough.
For Altuve.
For Altuve.
And Ellie De La Cruz. Chris, you can pick Jackson Holiday again if you want and break the rules of the game.
I can?
No. I mean, can you play the song?
I'd vote for it, though. I think Jackson Holiday should be picked every... We should have a new rule. If he's available, somebody has to pick Jackson Holiday starting.
Maybe Jackson Holiday will be the YouTube's pick.
There we go. Yes, there we go. Jackson Holiday always being picked.
I am going to go... Don't think I've picked this player before. Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts.
Oh, I have picked him before. Oh.
Couple times. All right, so we have Tuve, Mook, and who'd you pick?
Ellie De La Cruz.
Altuve, Mookie, and De La Cruz. Wow, we have a theme
Holiday.
Going.
Holiday,
it can be alright. All right, we'll take a break. Isn't Madonna coming? To Golden One Center?
I think she already was
there. Or
did
she already? Yeah. Was she already there?
Oh, yeah. It's a few months ago.
It was? How was she? Good?
I don't know. Yeah,
okay. It was great.
It was wonderful. We'll take a break. When we come back, is it? I think it is. Is this her final?
It is the final Katie appearance.
The final appearance.
It's the final appearance.
Katie Christensen. Joins us next right here on Sacktown Sports.